Side Hustle Show 159, how to earn six figures teaching online part-time.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where it's all about ideas, action, and results in building job-free income streams. Got a great show for you today about teaching online. It's a topic we've covered in the past, and I'm sure one we'll cover again in the future because it's simply a great side hustle. It's a way to package your knowledge, your wisdom, your skills, and instead of selling those skills as a one-time trade of hours for dollars, you can turn them into more time-leveraged assets, help a ton of people, and get paid. My guest is Phil Ebener. He runs videoschoolonline.com. Phil is somebody who's been on my radar for the past year or so. He teaches more than 50 online courses with a reach of over 130,000 students. He's paid off six figures in student debt with his side hustle before taking it full-time last May. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. And I think you're going to appreciate how most of his courses are outside of the make money online space. At least that is something that I appreciated. Now, Phil brings the goods on this call, especially when it comes to his course creation tactics and marketing strategies. So if you don't have a pen and paper handy, and I don't blame you because I never do when I'm listening to podcasts, I've compiled the free PDF highlight reel document that you can download with all of Phil's top tips. You can grab that at sidehustlenation.com/teach or through the link in the episode description of your podcast player app. Now, during the call, you'll hear Phil mention Teachable.com as one of the tools and platforms he's using to build out his online teaching empire. And Teachable is actually sponsoring this week's episode. So I'll tell you a little bit more about Teachable after this conversation with Phil and invite you to join their free live weekly training session on the 7 steps to launch your own online course in the next 30 days at teachable.com/sidehustle. Ready? Let's do this.
I found out about Udemy back in 2012. That's when I created my first course and it was successful. I made $62 in that first month. It was like the best thing in the world because as a kid, I was always a little entrepreneurial. I would like try to sell baseball cards to my sisters and try to sell things on eBay that I found at thrift stores, but nothing really clicked. And coming out of college, I was working full-time job. I studied video creation, film and TV at Loyola Marymount University in LA. And I was working full-time, but not making that much. Living in California is super expensive. And I was just trying to figure out a way to make a little bit of extra money. The first 6 months of creating these online classes, I was living in a small studio without internet because I was too cheap to pay for internet. So I would go create my classes and videos and go to work and upload them like before hours. But yeah, Udemy just kind of took off and I ran with it and continued just to do what was successful and fun for me, which was creating more and more courses. Along the way, I've brought in friends to co-create a lot of courses. Udemy is really where I started. It's where most of my income comes now, but I'm happy to say that I'm branching out and I've slowly built up some other streams of income with my online courses, but also with things like my YouTube channel, Amazon Kindle books, and affiliate marketing.
What was the first course about?
So the first course was video editing, but in Final Cut Pro 7. And I say but because that program doesn't really exist anymore.
Oh, okay.
And they completely revamped it. And so that class doesn't really do much now. So first tip of the day for people interested in teaching online classes is to try to think of something that's evergreen and won't really be non-existent after a few years.
Where do you, I mean, 50 courses? Like, I can't imagine calling myself an expert in 50 different things. Although if I had itemized them out, maybe, but where do you recommend like new people getting into this kind of start for coming up with course ideas?
The first thing is that I always have believed that you don't have to be necessarily an expert or a guru to teach on a subject. You really just have to know more than whoever wants to learn from you. So when I started, it was always just things that I like to talk about. That was my profession. So the things I taught were about video editing and motion graphics and photography. And whenever I talk to new instructors, I just say, what's your profession? And what do you like doing? What are your hobbies? because you don't want to teach a course on something that's your day job if you're not passionate about it. And I always tell new instructors to just teach something that you love and try not to worry about the income, because your first course is not going to be that great because there's a technical skill set to learn while you're creating courses and just talking on camera, talking on over slides, creating an online course. It takes a little bit of time to get used to it. And my first courses aren't that great. I really should go back and update them because the way that I teach is a lot better now. You see 50 courses, but some of those are basically free versions of a full paid course. So I take a section from that paid course or a group of lessons and package them into a free course, kind of as a lead funnel to try to get people into my courses.
I love the story about, hey, I earned $62 my first month. And I have a similar story about like my first book on Amazon, because like I got my first like royalty check as an author for like $42.47. It's like, this is the coolest thing ever. You know, it's like people bought my thing. It was awesome. Like I always like to draw parallels between Udemy and Amazon because they're both these pre-existing platforms and platforms of buyers generally, where it's like I could create the Final Cut Pro 7 definitive guide and I could launch it on my own blog to crickets, or I could launch it over here on this other platform where there are at least several million people who have expressed an interest in learning. And now I have an opportunity to get in front of that audience. Was that, and I guess it could go both ways, because my experience was like, you kind of need to provide that initial marketing push, even though it's on Udemy's platform, same thing on Amazon. What was your experience starting out over there?
Having the Udemy audience already online with their credit cards ready to pay for a course was the only reason I think I was successful at the beginning. They're always kind of changing what the best strategy is to get new students and to increase your ranking in the search. But I give a lot of free coupons away to my courses when I launched them. Really, when it started out, it was just trying to get a few students in there and get some reviews. So sending out free coupons to friends and family members. Now, I don't do that anymore, and I wouldn't condone asking friends and family to leave reviews on your course, but it's definitely okay to give away courses for free just to try to get people into them. But when I started out, I think Udemy had about like 2 or 3 million, and that was just like 3 years ago. And so they are growing all the time. And there's a lot of people who know about Udemy and know that they do a lot of discounting during their promotions. During Black Friday, they're selling courses for $9. At the start of the year, they do another $10 deal. They're always doing these deep discounts. And for people who came into teaching online courses from outside of Udemy, they might think that that's absurd. I want to charge a premium price on my product, the $497, the $997 price point or higher.
Yeah.
But for me, it's always been Udemy is doing the work and bringing me a new student. It's a student that I never would have had. And at least for now, being able to sell more to more students for a lower price point has been totally fine for me. Yeah, I totally suggest people to take part in those promotions because it's a way to help your class get those initial students.
There's definitely something to that. And that's one of the most common beefs against the platform. It's like, hey, they're discounting my stuff. Like, I don't have much pricing power. It's like, well, you can opt out of that if you want, but that's, you know, kind of the nature of the platform, and they let them do what they do best, which I think is marketing and hosting the thing. You don't have to worry about, you know, video hosting or payment processing or setting up an affiliate program or any of that stuff. They do it all for you.
Yeah, they make it super easy for us. I mean, you do have to learn how to create a video lesson, which takes recording with a video camera or with your webcam, with your computer. You have to learn how to get good audio. But aside from that, just the fact that they have this platform where you can easily upload videos and lay out a course and engage with students with discussions, it's a really an amazing platform to be on right now.
Do you still think, and I think the latest I saw was like they're up to 8 or 9 million students now, is it saturated, or do you think there's still opportunity for somebody to break in who's never created a course before?
That is a really good question, because I think I came in early enough, and a lot of people could say, and I could say myself, that you know, I was in 2012. I was creating courses, a lot of courses back in 2012, 2013, building up my brand so that now, like you said, I have over 120,000 students in my classes. And so I have that power of being able to market my courses to that many students. Then those people might say it's impossible to break into the market now because there's 19,000 other instructors on the platform and like 30 or 40,000 courses. But I consistently see, just being a part of the Udemy Facebook groups and the community, I see new instructors breaking into the Udemy marketplace and doing way better than I did my first few months. I see people making hundreds, if not thousands of dollars in their first months on Udemy, following a pretty simple strategy of just making sure that you create a high quality course and do some promotion on your own side. It does help if you have some sort of audience to promote those courses to, but I started out with nothing. I didn't even have a website when I started my Udemy courses. It wasn't until a few months later where I was like, wow, I should really create a brand around this and make sure that everything's in one home place. And that's why I created Video School Online, to blog and create YouTube videos and to kind of brand my courses.
Yeah, I see these posts too in like the Udemy Studio Facebook group, which is like 35,000 members on there too. So it's a big Facebook group. People are always posting, like, you know, their screenshots of their earnings and stuff. It's like, man, these guys did way better, like faster than I did. So it's inspiring to see that stuff for sure. Did you have any teaching experience beforehand? Yeah. Like, or was it just like, I know, I'll record some videos?
Honestly, I didn't. I think the closest thing I had to teaching experience was trying to teach photography to some kids in India while I was on a service project there in college. And that was like me standing in front of a bunch of kids who spoke only Hindi, they didn't speak English, trying to explain what an aperture was. And that was really difficult. No, I didn't have any real experience. And that's what's great about it. And it's hard because I talked to my friends, and now I would say that I spend like 75% of my time doing online teaching stuff, and then 25% of doing what my other profession is and was, which is like video editing and motion graphics. And so when people ask me what I do, I struggle to like find exactly what I am. Am I an online instructor? Am I a teacher? When I say online instructor, people usually don't understand what that really means, or they think I'm just like, I don't know, sitting on the couch all day.
Yeah, the industry is so new, we don't have a good terminology for it.
Yeah, and so I'm not a traditional teacher in that sense, and that's why I don't usually tell people that I'm a teacher. But for people who are teachers already, they'll know how to speak on camera and speak to a student, so that will help them. But you definitely don't have to be a teacher to start creating and teaching online courses.
One of the biggest hurdles for me getting started, like, it took weeks, you know, probably took 3 weeks or 4 weeks to record, you know, the course that I did, or a couple of courses that I did. The biggest challenge for me was like overcoming the technical hurdles. And, you know, you had the advantage of having like this video and editing background, whereas like I was trying to, you know, my wife was kind enough to like let me borrow her DSLR, and, you know, I was trying to set, I had this like cheap little lav mic that I'd gotten from Amazon, and it was like always had this weird background hiss, and I didn't know if it was like user error or it was just because I like cheaped out and bought a crappy mic. And so now what I would do to like totally remove all of that from the equation is just use this new Logitech webcam that I got. Don't have to worry about DSLRs and memory cards and lav mic. I can use the same podcasting mic, and this whole setup would be less than $150 versus like, you know, having to buy some fancy camera and editing. Like, I edited all mine in Windows Live Movie Maker, which is like the worst video editing software, but it was like, it worked. It was enough. A little bit of a learning curve, but I figured it out.
It is difficult, and I did have that leg up on a lot of people in having the equipment and the know-how to create a good looking video. But you don't have to make a highly polished video with a professional camera or lighting to create a great online course. And some of my best courses have mostly been screencast based courses where I'm just recording my screen, which has a PowerPoint presentation on it, and I'm using a microphone to do the voiceover. And I think the Logitech webcam, I have the C920. I don't know if that's
the same one.
That's an amazing camera that does get some decent audio. And if you can set up your computer in front of a window or something where you're getting enough light, that can be a really nice looking video. And so that itself is, you know, $50 to $75, I think, on Amazon maybe. And that's not a big investment to get started. The other piece of equipment that really helped me expedite my course creation and make it more efficient was a program called ScreenFlow, which is a screen recording and video editing application. And they have a similar one called Camtasia, which is available for Macs and PCs, which ScreenFlow is just for Macs, I think, right now. These programs are, I think, like $100. And what's great about them is it allows you to record your screen at a high quality. You can record your audio from a microphone, either the internal microphone on your laptop or computer, or a microphone that's plugged in. And you can also record from a webcam or any type of camera that's plugged into your computer. And so this $100 piece of software makes creating videos way easier. And the editing software is pretty simple as well. You do have to learn how to use that tool, but if you can learn that tool, you're going to be able to make some pretty good quality courses. Of course, you have to know how to design PowerPoint slides, and that's a huge thing too, because it's one thing to be able to record everything properly, but there's the whole design side of it, which not that many people talk about, I find. But being able to design good-looking slides that aren't too crowded with too much information is really important to creating good-looking course.
Do you have a strategy for like how you outline a course now, having gone through it 50 times, or like?
I've definitely created a system where it doesn't really matter how long it is. I think courses can be anywhere from 30 minutes long to 10 hours long. And I have courses that are, you know, that length. I have a course that's, I think, like 18 hours worth of content at this point because I continue to add to it. But in terms of outlining your course, a key point is to make sure that the first few lessons are really, really action-packed. I've gotten a lot of feedback from my earlier courses that say the first lessons are very dry and boring, because I used to, in every course, I would have like a course overview lecture that started it off, and that was like 5 to 8 minutes. Then I would have a video about who am I, the instructor, and it would be like 5 to 10 minutes of me rambling on about who I am. And I found that people just weren't really interested in that story. And if they wanted to find out more about me, they could visit my website or read the description on my Udemy profile. Now I know that it's really important to just get into the meat of your course. For one, just because people will like it more, but also it will keep your students engaged with your course. We see a huge drop off in the amount of students that complete an entire course. A lot of students might not even start it, or if they start it, they'll watch the first couple lessons in a course. And so making sure that those first 2 to 5 videos are really action-packed and your best lessons is important, so that students continue with your course. And if they continue with the course, they'll be more engaged, and that will help increase your ranking on Udemy, because they're more likely to leave a review. They're more likely to post discussion questions, those kinds of things that I think, I don't know the exact secret sauce, but it goes into increasing your ranking in the Udemy search.
Front load your best stuff at the beginning, which makes sense as part of the algorithm in terms of engagement and satisfaction.
One idea is just to take your course topic and figure out like the top 5 tips about your course and put that as your like second lecture. So I teach a class about DSLR video production. And so I have an intro video, and then the second video is like my top 5 tips for better DSLR video production. And those types of videos seem to do very well at the start of my courses.
Do you see it as a portfolio platform? Like, do you need 50 courses or you know, even just half a dozen different courses to make significant money on the platform? Or do you see people having success with like, you know, one flagship course, like, hey, I'm an expert in blank and this is what I'm going to teach?
You definitely don't need to have 50 courses. I think most people will see my profile and be like, that's kind of ridiculous. I don't know when you find the time to create those courses. Are those courses even like that great of quality? Are you trying hard for all to create those courses?
How many did you have like at the time you quit your job? Like, how many of them were built like fully on the side?
I did have a lot. I think I had probably I created 18 courses in 2015. So, and I left my job halfway through that year. So I probably had about 30 or so at the start when I left my job. But I see people who have one course that brings in what they're happy with. Now, sometimes that one course brings in 10 grand a month. Sometimes it brings in $1,000 a month. Sometimes it brings in $100 a month. And, you know, that's great. Having a little bit of extra money is nice. And for me, there was never like, oh, I need to make this amount of money. But it just kept growing and growing to the point where I was making more money with Udemy and my online courses than my full-time job, that it kind of just took over. And it was kind of obvious for me to say, okay, I should quit my job and focus on this full time. And what I see all these courses as are kind of little streams of income. And so if I could have 50 courses that make $100 a month or $10 a month, that's pretty great, rather than having all my eggs in one basket. Now, while it would be great to have one course that's making $10,000 a month, I think it's okay that I have a lot of courses and it's kind of spread out, so that if that one course does kind of do slowly in 1 month, I still have the other courses to bring in income.
Okay, I see what you mean. Like, if the interest in that topic changes, if the ranking algorithm for that topic changes, then all of a sudden you got a little bit more exposure or a little bit more risk there.
Exactly. And one thing about Udemy and my courses is you are the owner of your content and you're allowed to put your courses on other platforms. And so I'll put my courses on places like Skillshare. I had them on Skillfeed until it closed down. People are coming to me all the time saying, hey, you want to put your courses on my site? And most times I say no, because it looks like a site that's never made sales. But for platforms that I know have made money for instructors, I'll try them out. And so I not only have all my courses on Udemy as little streams of income, but I also put those courses on other sites. And so I have, you know, literally hundreds of different little streams of income, little creeks of income that build up the income that I'm making right now.
I totally love that. Like, hey, each one of these is a little passive income asset. It'll sit out there and it'll earn month after month after month. Going through my end of the year reporting, I was kind of surprised. Udemy has been a really consistent passive earner. Like, for me, I don't have near the exposure that you've got to it, but like, it's still $300 to $600 a month on average. And I think I just passed like the $10,000 mark. And most of that was in 2015. So it's like, is that, I'm looking at that, it's like, maybe that's a signal that I should spend more energy over here. Like, I should create more, I should build out this portfolio a little bit, because I'm curious to hear your take on this too. Like, once something is up there, what's your, you know, time investment after the fact, either in marketing or like student support? Like, how passive is it?
Well, that's really awesome that you're making that, like, $300 to $600 a month. And you told me that, like, you don't really spend that much time on your Udemy courses at all anymore.
What I'll do, so the time investment now is, so once a week I'll go through and send a welcome message to, you know, new students who joined in the past week. And then occasionally there'll be like discussion questions, so I'll jump in and answer those, but probably 10 minutes a week.
Like, seeing that that's working for you, that's kind of what I saw and I struggle with now. It's like, I know Udemy works. I know that creating new classes works for me. So it's like, why would I focus on other platforms or doing other things when I know that Udemy works? And that's a constant struggle with me. But for the past 3+ years now, that's been my focus. It's like, I know Udemy works. I'm going to create more and more courses. Now, you know, with over 100,000 students, and, you know, most of those aren't engaged in the courses anymore, I get a ton of questions. I get a ton of private messages and discussions posted. Every day I find myself spending probably like an hour, which is totally worth it for like the amount of money I'm making in return. It's getting to the point where I sometimes think, like, man, I spend more time keeping up with the courses and the students that I don't have a lot of time to work on new projects or other projects that I would love to work on. It really depends on the course. I have one really popular class, my photography masterclass that I taught with a buddy of mine. It's my best-selling class. And that one, we have a lot of exercises built into that class where we ask students to, like, go take this type of picture, or go use these settings and try to take this type of picture. And people are posting their projects all the time, which is really great to see students actually using the content of the class to learn something. That's like really why I do it in the end, is to share my knowledge with people. But it does get a little tiring, especially recently coming back from some holidays and seeing 100 or more new discussions. And it just takes a couple days to get through that kind of stuff.
So I guess I'm not, there's a happy medium to be found in between there.
Yeah, there's definitely a point. There's times when I ask myself, oh, I need to get like an assistant, but I like to do everything myself, from all of my classes to editing my classes to my articles and YouTube videos and editing. Everything I do myself. And I think one piece of advice that I could get from a lot of other entrepreneurs is to, at some point, delegate some of those tasks to other people. And even if I have to pay for it, it'd be worth it.
Do you see, now I love the focus and say, hey, look, I know how Udemy works. So that's where I'm going to spend my energy. But do you ever get to the point where it's like, hey, look, now I've got this massive, massive audience, but it's built on somebody else's platform. Like, how do I gently transfer some of this like over to Video School Online or something like that?
That is something that I've tried to brainstorm and figure out how to do over the past couple of years. For those of you who are on Udemy, we know that they make it difficult to get people onto your own platform. You're not allowed to ask students to sign up for an email list or send people to your site where if you're asking for them to sign up for your list or anything like that. And obviously, if they see that I am promoting my own classes on my own site, they might see that as a competition and not really like that. But that being said, you never know what's going to happen to Udemy.
Right.
We saw Skillfeed, which was bringing me over $1,000 a month, sometimes $2,000 a month for about a year. They just shut down all of a sudden. And I was still making like $500 that last month. And so that's a lot of money to just kind of go away all of a sudden. Udemy is definitely higher in the Alexa rankings. They have a bigger team. It doesn't seem like they're going anywhere, but you never know. Maybe they're going to, you know, do their IPO and sell off, and who knows what's going to happen. And so I do want to make sure that Video School Online survives after that. And at the end of 2015, I did, using Teachable, start hosting my own courses. And it's basically hooked up to my site so that people can find my courses on my own site. I haven't done much promotion of those courses. I just kind of put them up there. I link to them from my website. I now do, when I post a new article or a YouTube video, I'll link to the course that's in my course library and not on Udemy. And just from doing that, I am seeing a lot of traffic to those courses, and I'm making a couple hundred bucks a month with really no promotion at all. And that's just, I think, from organic traffic. I'm getting around like 13,000 to 14,000 visitors to my site every month. That's something that I want to build up. And my goal for 2016 is to hit $1,000 a month in revenue from Video School Online courses. And one of the ways I'm doing it right now is I'm trying to promote my free courses on my own site. Because when I promote those on my own site, I can get their email addresses and I could put them into an email sequence and try to upsell them to the premium course. Something that I couldn't do with Udemy, because you can't promote to course students in your free courses. Just in the past couple of weeks, since I've started to promote my free courses a lot more with a free page on my site and my YouTube videos, I've seen like 600 new enrollments in my courses on Video School Online. And right now I have a total of about 900 students just on Video School Online. So
yeah, I think that's a kind of the logical next step anyways. Let's do your new course marketing plan for a brand new person, and then your new course marketing plan for someone with a ton of students.
Putting me on the spot, but that's really good info with that. I think will help people. If I was completely brand new to teaching online courses, I would put together my course, my premium paid course, which is maybe like 2 to 3 hours long. I would also take that course and create a mini free version of the course, which includes maybe like 30 minutes of content from that course. Put both up on Udemy. I would make the mini course free, but at the same time, I would give out 500 to 1,000 free coupons to the paid course. Using the Udemy Studio, posting on places, you have to be careful about what forums you use, like Reddit. Sometimes it really depends on which Reddit subreddit you're using, but posting on blogs, posting on Facebook groups, posting on Google Plus groups, LinkedIn groups, posting the free coupon to all those places will get students in your paid courses and your free course. And so I think just building a little bit of traction and getting your first students in your courses is important, even if it's free. And then I really like what you said, which is you send out a welcome message to your students after they enroll, which you can do with Udemy. I think that's really smart because you want to get students engaged. You want to get people posting discussion questions on Udemy. And the more you can do that, then your ranking will increase. And then after a couple weeks, you can send out an educational announcement on Udemy and ask people to leave a review for your class. And you want to start to get reviews in your classes. So that's like the main thing, is to get free students, get reviews, get engagement, and have that free course that you can promote. On top of this, if you have a website, if you don't, it might be good to try to start a website, write a blog post that you can share on social media that links to your courses, post a video on YouTube, or post all the videos that make up your free course on YouTube and link back to your course. That's stuff that I do with all of my courses now. So YouTube, social media, your own website, and blogs, posting on other like groups and blogs.
For the free course, like you mentioned, you're not allowed to like market to these students. So what's the benefit of getting people on enrolled in that free course?
Well, there's a couple things. The first is that student might see your full course and they might want to purchase it just on their own accord. But also what Udemy allows now, which they've tightened their hold on how we can promote and how we could use their announcement system and their messaging system so much, but they have allowed us to create what's called the bonus lecture. And the bonus lecture is the last lecture in your course. You title it bonus, and you can basically do whatever you want in that lecture. You can include links to your paid course. You can include a discount to your paid course. And so if you do have a free course that has like 5 or 6 lectures in it, and then the last lecture is a text-based lecture saying, hey, I hope you enjoyed this class. Please let me know if there's anything that you didn't like about it. Feel free to leave a review for the class. And by the way, if you're interested, here's the full paid course. And you can either have a discount and you can say, oh, and you could get it for 50% off or something like that. Or you could just leave it full price. But you can promote your paid course through your free courses that way.
Through the bonus lecture. Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
It's a new feature that Udemy has allowed us to do, and you can use that on free and paid courses.
Awesome.
And in general, it's just building your brand. I think having free courses helps to build your brand, helps to get your name out there. And out of my 50 courses, I would say like 10 to 15 of mine are free. And it's just for that purpose of building my brand and getting more people in my courses.
And then for the established instructor or somebody who's got a couple courses out there, how would you launch a new one?
So that's like where hopefully the money can start to roll in a little bit more, because as you start to grow your student base, as you get more and more students in your paid courses, and we're talking about Udemy specifically, but this also works for if you have your courses on your own site and you're doing email marketing, you want to promote your new courses to your current students. And so whenever I launch a course, I will send a promotional announcement to my students launching the course, typically at a discount. And I'll send that announcement. I'll also post again on YouTube announcing this. I'll send that same type of announcement to my email list. I'll try to use a different coupon code so that I can track if those sales are coming from my email list versus the promotional announcement on Udemy.
Okay.
But that's really like mostly what I do. And just as you get more and more students and more courses, when you send out promotional announcements, they just become more and more powerful. I remember when I had probably about like when I was at your position with maybe 10,000, maybe less than 10,000 students. And I remember hearing about an instructor who sent out a promotional announcement and made $1,000 from that. And to me, that was just mind-boggling that you could send out a promotional announcement. And for everyone that's not using Udemy, basically a promo announcement is like the messaging system where students will get an email from you.
Right. So as an instructor, you don't get their email address, but you have the ability to message them either with course educational announcements or promotional announcements, which in most cases pings their inbox anyway.
It's pretty powerful. Something that I'm doing with my newest course, which will probably be launched by the time this podcast comes out, but it's a YouTube, complete YouTube masterclass that I partnered with a popular YouTuber. I've done a lot of promotions in terms of putting out free videos on YouTube, trying to get people to sign up for the free course, which is hosted on Video School Online. And I'm going to be using those ways to promote the paid course coming up, along with just the regular promotional announcement and emails that I send out.
Well, Phil, this is awesome stuff. Thank you so much for joining me. And I definitely learned a little bit, got my gears turning on how I can do more with Udemy in 2016. Check them out at videoschoolonline.com and philebener.com. And let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Yeah, well, it's been really great being on, and hopefully people enjoyed what I have to say. And if they have any questions about anything, I always love talking to people about all this stuff. And my biggest piece of advice, which is something you guys have probably heard, but I just want to reinforce it, is that perfection isn't the key to anything. It's not key to creating your first online course, especially. And I found that for myself, I've always been the type of person that's okay with imperfection. I always try to just create stuff, launch it, and then fix it as I go. And I think that's the best way to do it with online courses, because you have the ability to fix changes after you launch a course. And until you really just sit down for a weekend and figure this out and record something and post it, you don't really know if you like doing it and you don't know how to do it. And so it just takes practice. And so if you guys can just kind of let go of the perfection and just get down to business. I know that's harder done than said, but just do it.
It's tough to do, but I like that advice. Perfection is the enemy of good enough.
Yes.
Thanks so much, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Bye, guys.
This edition of the Side Hustle Show is brought to you by Teachable.com. Teachable makes it ridiculously easy to create and sell online courses, and there are some pros and cons compared to a marketplace like Udemy. Now, both of the options have, of course, well-designed interfaces, video hosting, payment processing, and built-in affiliate programs, but Teachable, I think, gives you a little more control over your content, positioning, and pricing. The biggest drawback that I see is you're on your own when it comes to finding customers. You don't have access to Udemy's 10 million students, or you're not going to show up in their internal search engine. Now, that's where Teachable's free training comes in. Turns out they've recognized a few patterns from the 5,000 plus people they've got teaching courses with their software, and among them, that pretty much every successful online course is launched using the same 7-step process. You can find out what those 7 steps are and see if they parallel what Phil shared today in a free live training session hosted by Ryan from Teachable each week. You can register free at teachable.com/sidehustle for the 7 steps to launch your own online course in the next 30 days webinar. Now, Ryan doesn't hold anything back on this training, and he's actually been known to throw in some surprise gifts for attendees as well. So you can register at teachable.com/sidehustle. Now, my biggest takeaways from this episode with Phil, number one, is it's a process. Like, you can't make 50 courses until you make your first. And you can't make your first until you record that first video. And you can't record that first video until you pick a topic. And it goes on and on and on. You worry about all of the cool marketing hacks after that. And we're chatting with Phil 3 years or a little over 3 years into his journey. So this didn't happen overnight, but it did happen. And I think it happened as a result of consistently putting the effort forward and building genuinely helpful content. Of course, you've got to serve people and be helpful to them. Now, once you get rolling, there's a compound effect, and then that flywheel starts spinning. So I'm going to link up my episode I just recently did on the compound effect in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at sidehustlenation.com/teach. And while you're there, be sure to grab the free highlight reel with all of Phil's top tips from this call. Now, like any good Udemy instructor, Phil has, of course, the super meta Make Money on Udemy course. They'd probably pull his instructor card if he didn't have it. He's actually got two of them, one free and one paid, practicing what he preached. And he's offered a special discount for Side Hustle Show listeners, $19 for the paid course with code HUSTLE19. That's more than 90% off the $300 sticker price. And I will link both of those courses up at sidehustlenation.com/teach.
A few people have asked about the baby. Yes, sorry, he was born, and both he and Bryn are doing very well. It's been a blur, honestly, since then. Like other parents can understand, we're tired and excited and frustrated and very much in love. Now, one of our favorite pastimes, actually, is walking on the treadmill desk. Our favorite pastimes, mine and Max's, is our son's name, where I strap him into the little baby carrier and get some miles in. So in a way, he helped write the show notes for this episode this morning, doing just that. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, as always. Until next time, let's go out there, make something happen, and I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.